Hey guys, this is Jordan Quent, and you're listening to episode 3 of Quintessential. And we are back, baby, back in the studio. I'm very excited. I couldn't wait for it this whole week. Every night, dude, I'd go to bed feeling like Christmas Eve because I'm like, oh man, one more day's over and I'm closer to going back to the studio and shooting the shit. And I can't wait, couldn't wait, and now I'm here and it feels like a dream, you know? This week, well, let me say this. Today is Sunday, October 31st, the day we're recording. This whole past week has been very crazy, and that's pretty much what I want to talk about today, at least to start off the podcast. I want to explain how it's been, give my opinions and peel back the curtain, let you guys know kind of how it works here and all that stuff. So on Monday, 6 days ago, I launched the podcast, released episode 1, the whole thing. And the response was really good. I was very flattered. It was really cool to hear from people I haven't talked to in a long time. People that I didn't expect were reaching out and saying that they'd listen to it and that they enjoyed it and they couldn't wait for the next one or whatever the thing was. It was really cool. I had accepted that no one was going to listen to it. I understand that. And I was ready for it. And so it was really cool, unexpected to have as many people listen as they did. So I got kind of antsy and released episode 2. I had banked episode 1 and 2 a few weeks ago before the release. And I got antsy and I released episode 2 on Wednesday so that I could talk about it up to date on the next recording, which is today. I didn't want to be too behind. I wanted to be close and relevant or whatever, up to date. So that's what happened. And then on Thursday, just a few days ago, I performed stand-up comedy for the first time. It was really cool. I knew it was coming. I had been put on the ticket a few weeks ago, so I've been preparing for it. Had some friends and family come out. I was able to go and perform in the New Faces of Comedy at Stand Up Live in Phoenix here in Arizona. It was a 5-minute set. It was all newer comedians, people that had done it a few times before and people whose it was their first time like me. It was really cool. I'm definitely going to do it again. And I'm already in, things are in the works to do some more. So I'll keep you guys updated here and on my Instagram if you're in Arizona and you want to come see me. So right off the bat, let's talk about the initial launch. Like I said, episode 1 went really well. I had a lot of fun hearing back from people, but I very quickly realized that maybe I've made a mistake. You know what I mean? Putting this out and being myself and just, it's hard to explain, but I'm here recording with my brother-in-law, my producer, Adam Turley, in his studio. And so I'm just talking by myself and I'm trying to make him laugh. And I feel like that's all it is, dude, is just hanging out. So it's hard to remember that people are going to hear this. And people that I know and people on my Instagram responded saying they listened. But the first thing that I said, oh man, maybe this is a mistake, is I was at my parents' house the day after I released the podcast, hanging out with them. And when I was leaving, I was getting in the car with my family, and they live in a cul-de-sac. Across the cul-de-sac, my parents' neighbor, was coming back from getting the mail. So I see him across the street and I wave to him, hey, how you doing? And he waves and then he points at me. And he's retired. He's my parents' age. And he does like finger guns at me and says, hey, gotta love those bidets. And does thumbs up, which was very sweet and nice of him. But it's just so funny, like, oh crap, this nice man that is my parents' neighbor I've known my whole life is listening to me talk about just the dumbest stuff on here. I think that's so funny. Very nice that he listened. They've been very sweet. A lot of people have reached out and been very cool about it. But I just am waiting for the day that I'm going to say something that they're probably not going to like as much. But my favorite part of all this has been interacting with people. And like I said, I have the Instagram. I've had people sending in ideas for stuff they want to hear, people asking me to talk about certain things. And a big section of those things, since a lot of people that follow me are people that I've known personally for a long time, a big section are people telling me to tell certain stories that happened to me or us in our childhood. And there, some of the ones they brought up I'm not going to tell, especially right now, but it made me think of just, I have so many funny, embarrassing stories from elementary school and junior high. I already told some in the beginning. I told the one about the kid. Anyway, I told stories last episode from elementary school. It made me think of so many more, so many classic stories. And I don't know what made me think about this one, but when I was a little kid, I think I was 12 or so, I went on a road trip with my, I go up to Utah to stay with my cousins. I would stay with my cousin that's my age at my grandma's house. We would go, it would be like us hanging out for the week, but I don't know why. It was really fun. We did it a few years in a row. But I went up with my friend's family who was going up, and they were going to take me and drop me off. And there's so much in this story that that is so relatable to me now still, that like, as a kid, everything is embarrassing to you and everything is scary. How scary is it, dude, to ask to go to the bathroom when you're driving from Arizona to Utah? It's a 12-hour drive and you have to pee so bad, you know? And you don't want to ask because you know the dad's going to get annoyed at you. So you ask your friend, you say like, hey, I have to go to the bathroom. And what does the friend do? The friend says, hey, Jordan has to go to the bathroom. That's the exact opposite I wanted you to do. I wanted you to take the bullet for me, help me out here as like friend. And they always ruin it every single time. But I was just thinking about all the things that are so nerve-wracking and anxiety-inducing as a kid in that situation. Asking to go to the bathroom is terrifying. When you stop at Wendy's or something on the drive up and you just get like chicken nuggets because you don't want to ask for, of course I want the Baconator. I want the Baconator large with a huge Dr. Pepper and give me a Frosty, bro. But you can't when it's your friend's dad paying for you. You have to ask for like, give me the apple slices. it's your turn and you're like, do you guys have a milk, you know, like the most boring thing because you don't want to be that kid. Your parents raised you. Well, hopefully your parents raised you to be that polite kid. My parents did, or they tried to, I don't know. But that was terrifying. And it made me think of this whole trip was so interesting for me because the whole drive up, it's 12 hours. They listened to like the Chronicles of Narnia ebook the whole time. And as a 12-year-old, I'm like, okay, like I'm not into this. And the whole family... We're driving up. Just picture it. You're in the back seat. You're sweaty because the air is not the temperature you want it to be. And you can't tell the guy because it's not your dad. So you're sweaty. You're uncomfortable. You have to pee. Your friend won't help you out. And they're listening to like, and the sword was drawn from its sheath. And they're all like, oh, ho, ho. They all get excited. You know, and you're like, this is the dumbest book I've ever heard. Why are we listening to this? You know what I mean? And the whole family's so into it. They're like eating, they have like their road trip snacks. What are classic road trip snacks, by the way? Pretzels, obviously. Those suckers that are like the green apple ones with the caramel on the inside. They're all so stoked about Prince Caspian or whatever. Whatever the Prince of Chronicles of Narnia book is. So that was funny. I wanted that to end so bad the whole time. I thought it was so dumb. And I remember, I know I'm jumping around, but I remember I was sitting in the back seat. I think I was actually like in the second row so I could roll the window down if I wanted to. But I was so young. I had gum in my mouth and it was getting gross. You know how gum just gets old? And I couldn't swallow the gum. I wanted to be done with it. I couldn't swallow it. And I didn't have trash. I didn't have anywhere to put it. But basically I was like, okay, I'm going to roll the window down and throw it out of the window. And so I tried rolling the window down. And then the guy who was driving like, oh, no, we're not doing the window. And he rolled it back up. And so I just sat there chewing on this disgusting old gum for so long trying. And I'm like asking to use my friend's water to swallow my gum. And he wouldn't, I had to waterfall it. And it's, you can't swallow gum when you have to waterfall the water like that. But I finally... I'm sitting there sweating. I'm in my orange and one basketball shorts, you know? And I work up the courage. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to roll the window down real fast and like throw the gum out of the top and roll it back up. They won't even notice anything happened. They're just going to think it was an accident. I rolled it down. So I work up the courage. I take the gum out of my mouth. They're really into it talking, hearing about Aslan the lion or whatever the guy's name is from the book. I wait for a big like applause moment in the book where they're all excited. And I really quickly... roll the window down, throw the gum out, roll the window back up. And I'm like, oh, I did it. I accomplished it. I got away with it. They didn't even notice. And I take a big sigh of relief and I lean back in my chair and I look out the window to look at the beautiful scenery. And I see that my gum is on the outside of the window smeared across the whole window. Because I just dropped it out and didn't. And so then I'm panicking, sweating, waiting for him to see me and wring my neck. And it was terrifying. And I don't think anything ever happened. But just, I couldn't even enjoy the ride, bro. The whole time I was so nervous. I think we got out to get to Wendy's or whatever. And I finally wiped it off and cleaned it. But that whole thing, like, as a kid, you have no control over anything. And everything, at least for me, was so scary. And there's so much pressure. You think people care about, I don't know. It was so hard. But so that was a random thing I thought of. I thought that was really funny. But around that same age are where all these funny stories started happening. A really big one, if you went to school with me when we were kids, then you have heard the story. When I was that same age, I was really awkward and weird, and that's the age where you're like figuring out your stuff. I was in sixth grade, right, at elementary school, and I was kind of a troublemaker, as you know if you know me. I went to the bathroom one time, and like I said, you have to bring a bathroom buddy. We go to the bathroom, and we're messing around because I got to pick my buddy this time. So I brought my friend, John. We go to the bathroom, we're just messing around, and we notice that above the stalls, there's a hole in the ceiling, like cut into those little like asbestos tiles, those white tiles at your elementary school. So obviously, I want to go up in there. My friend hypes me up. We think it's really funny. And so I climb up on the stalls. You know, you put your foot on the toilet paper thing, then you hoist your little self up there. And I peek up into the ceiling. It's making my friend laugh. He's like on watch duty for me. So I peek up there and I notice it's a lot more interesting than I thought. So I jump up in there and I'm making my friend laugh and whatever. That's my biggest problem, is always trying to make people laugh, and it gets me into trouble. But I'm up there and he's telling me like, okay, get down. And then I had a really funny idea, and it was really funny, where because the hole in the ceiling was above the stall, of course I'm going to shut this down. I'm going to kill it I'm going to make this be so funny for my friend. I started peeing into the toilet from up in the ceiling. So I pee down. So all he sees is a pee stream coming from the hole in the ceiling down into the toilet. And of course I made it. He's laughing real hard. I think he's on the ground. Gross, by the way, because it's the bathroom. And this little I was in sixth grade. And so this little third grader comes in and he just sees my friend dying laughing, and he sees pee coming from up in the ceiling. He goes and tells the teacher. She comes in, she yells at me. I got suspended for a few days, and I'm pretty sure I told my parents that I didn't do it, and the teacher was just out to get me, and they like went to bat for me, dude. My parents like fought with my teacher, and I just lied to them the whole time, and I can't believe I got away with it until now. I'm going to get an earful when I get home and my mom hears this, but that's how you know a story's good, dude. If you're not getting in trouble, or like really almost getting in trouble, and you got away with it, then your story's nothing. And this whole week I've been thinking about childhood stuff, people bringing stuff up, like I said, and really the best stories are where you get in trouble. So me getting suspended, that's a classic story. Another one that so many people told me to talk about was when I was in high school, we used to go on like bros trips to the cabin and stuff. One of my buddies has a cabin up in Strawberry here in Arizona. And we'd go up for a weekend or whatever, and we had so many fun things happen, but there's this one story that sticks out to me so much. And it involves us getting in trouble. So we were going up to the cabin. It was after school one day. We all got out of school, meet at one of my friend's houses, and we drove up together to go up to the cabin. We were in two trucks. In one of the trucks, one guy who was in student council had like a bunch of passes for, they did something, some partnership with Dutch Bros. I know I just talked shit about them last episode. So here I go again. He had these partnership thing, these little buy one, get one free, whatever, with Dutch Bros. So we went to Dutch Bros first. It was on the way, right out of the neighborhood. We stop at Dutch Bros. We go and we get all these strawberry smoothies because they had them. It was a limited edition thing. We all get these smoothies and we're all just messing around. We get them. We start driving. So at this point, just so you know, at this point, we're 5 minutes away from my buddy's house that we all met at. We have all these smoothies. We're messing around in the truck and we're on the freeway. We're at the red light. We all drank them except for one of my buddies. He goes like, I don't want it. It doesn't taste very good. Does anyone else want it? And we say, no, thank you, whatever. And he's like, oh, I don't want it. What do I do? We're at a red light, gonna go on the highway, but it's like a 6-lane red light. You know, there's 2 lanes that turn left onto the freeway, 2 that go straight, 2 that turn right or whatever. And so what my buddy decides to do is right as the light turns green, He throws his smoothie cup out the window. It was a small cup. He wanted to like hit the car next to us. And we thought it'd be funny. I don't know, stupid. But he throws it. And what happened was it went over the car next to us and it hit the car that was in the left lane turning onto the freeway. So he throws it and it hits the car and we keep driving, whatever. We think it's so funny because we're 16. And we're driving straight for a while, a few more minutes. And one of my friends goes, that car is chasing us. And we laugh as if that'd be so crazy to have this car that got hit by the smoothie be chasing us. And we laugh. And my friend goes, no, for real, it's chasing us. And we look back, it's on its way towards us. But keep in mind, it was turning left onto the freeway. So it went back straight to go towards us. This guy pulls up next to us in the suicide lane. So we're driving, 50 miles an hour, 55. He pulls up in the suicide lane next to us and he's screaming at us. And he's on the phone too. He's pointing at us and he's screaming at us and we don't know what to do. My buddy who's driving the truck is like, what do I do? He keeps driving. And this guy with the smoothie all over his car is like trying to, he's driving in the suicide lane, kind of trying to hit us out of the road. So he's kind of swerving at us to make us pull over. And we start freaking out. We don't know what to do. We just are messing around. So we finally pull over and this guy pulls up behind us and he gets out of his car and he's screaming at us really bad, which I guess I understand. But at the time, he's screaming at us. And my buddy who was driving, the one who was in student council, he's very good at talking to people. He's like, I will handle this situation. He gets out of the car to talk to this guy. And he was wearing, I'll always remember this, he's wearing a shirt that's a tank top that says, Mr. Steal Your Girl, because this is in 2013, a backwards hat, and he has Homer Simpson pajama pants on. Just the, worst outfit to try and talk this guy down. The guy was so mad, and that's the person he expected to get out of the car, you know what I mean? Like a punk teenager. So he's yelling at my friend, and, it's this whole big thing. The guy's telling us we need to pay for him to get a car wash. And he's asking where the kid is that threw the thing. And we're all going to sell out my friend Bronson, who threw the strawberry smoothie. If anyone knows him, of course it was him. Anyway, it was really funny. The guy's screaming at us. He said he's on the phone with the cops. My friend Michael, the one with the Homer Simpson pants, talks him down and we get out of there. So we go to the cabin. It was really funny. That was 5 minutes into our trip. And the whole rest of the trip was just so fun and crazy because of course we got into trouble, almost killed by something. We could have got shot by this guy on the side of the road. But that trip was really fun and it made me think of all the trips we went up and all the crazy things we got into. And I have some complaints already. I'm trying to be positive this episode because I complain a lot, but I have some complaints already. So here we go. The friend group, okay. We went up to the cabin. We mess around. We ride the horses. We go on a hike. We go to the water, the creek or whatever. We just mess around the whole time, ride dirt bikes. And the girls in our friend group, we would go up there and they would get all jealous about that we went on a boys trip. And they were like, I was dating a girl at the time and I remember she called me and she was sad. And I'm up there with spotty internet and service. She called me and she's sad. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, all of the girls down here are like saying that you guys are doing bad things up there. I'm like, what? Like drugs and drinking? She's like, no, like you're all watching porn together. I'm like, first off, why would we do that? Okay, why would we do that together? And why would we have to drive up? Why would we drive up to the cabin to be like, okay, here we go, and have like VHS tapes or whatever, like back in the day? It's so annoying. And the whole time we were getting babysat by these girls in our friend group that we thought we were getting in trouble, but also we can do whatever we want, you know? But another thing I've wanted to talk about, on my Instagram, I have been putting out these stories with little question boxes and asking people to send in stuff they want me to talk about. By the way, if you're not following me on Instagram, you can go follow me. My personal one's Jordan R. Quent, and then you can follow me on the podcast, Quintessential Pod. There I've been interacting with people, and they've been giving me some ideas, tell some stories to me that I can read on the podcast and stuff like that. So I've been having a lot of fun doing that, but a really big one people wanted me to talk about was marriage life and dad life. And I said that I want to talk about, since I'm a guy who complains and I have a little nitpicky stuff I have problems with, then I have a lot of things I can talk about my wife and be married, but I don't want her to kill me. So maybe as a collective group, nobody tell my wife that this is happening. Okay, Allie, if you're listening, love you. skip to the end, okay? Being married really is really cool. I don't really have any problems. We get along really well. But of course, I'm a human being and living with somebody else. We've been married for a long time. But over the years, little things come up that I just have to complain about and I tease my wife about anyway. So here we go. Gosh dang it. Let me crack the knuckles. Let's get into it. This might be my last. Okay. If I get murdered after this episode comes out, officer, it was my wife because she's pissed at me. I promise. If I go missing, it was my wife. I'm sorry to say. So here's what's going on. Here are some of my main complaints. I told you guys that I love TV shows and movies. I love to watch movies with my wife and TV shows with my wife. And we make an evening out of it too. We go to Andy's Frozen Custard. I get the boot daddy, okay? Come home, plop down, turn the lights, dim the lights. We watch a show and it's a whole evening, dude. It's so great. And it's my favorite thing to do. However, the worst thing on the entire planet is how my wife doesn't pay attention for so long. And then at the very important part, she says, what's happening? Hey, do you want me to tell you the past 10 minutes or what, huh? What do you want me to say now? If there's been 15 minutes of exposition explaining the big thing that's about to happen, and then the big thing happens and you say, hey, what's happening? What do you want me to do about that? You know what I mean? And I tease her and I do a big sigh and I rewind really fast and then we have to watch it again. And that's what happens. And then, you know what else happens? When I rewind, I look over and she's on her phone. So she's not paying attention again. And we have to do it again and again. And we take so long to watch a TV show. And I get upset with her. And oh boy, do we butt heads. But then we end up having a good time anyway. So that's complaint number one. Complaint number two, and it's all just about watching TV shows and movies. She knows how much I enjoy them. I don't remember what we were watching. It really doesn't matter. I think we were watching Game of Thrones. But it was this buildup. No, we were watching Lord of the Rings, dude. I showed her Lord of the Rings and she likes them. At least she enjoyed it when we watched it. But it was like the final battle or something it's like this whole buildup over the past three movies for this big thing. And the movie, the battle starts or whatever the thing was. And she turns and starts talking to me about like, like the plan, our plans the next day. And I like pause the TV like, what are you talking to me for? And she's like, oh, but they're just fighting. Like nothing's happening. I thought I could talk to you right now. Like, no. This is the worst time to talk to me because I've been excited for this the whole time. I don't know. She does that all the time. I love her so much, but it's really funny how she like just doesn't think about that. So those are little petty things that happen all the time. It's the worst though. She's always on her phone at the worst time. And then she asks me what's happening. And then it's just, we do it all the time. But oh man, what else? Oh, this is so annoying. Something that my wife does. So she decorates our whole house. She did so good with it, right? She'll be like, oh, I just bought this thing and I'm going to hang it up and I'm going to like, it's all up to her. It's her house. She can do whatever she wants. I really don't care how she decorates it. I trust her completely. Something she was like, I want to get a little thing to hang our keys on next to the door. I know it's kind of ugly, but like we have to for utility to have all our keys. Okay, you do it. So she buys it. She installs it. She's the one whose idea it was. Guess how often, okay, my wife comes in the house, guess where her keys go? Not on the key ring, I'll tell you that much. It's on the floor, they're on top of the fridge, they're in the bathroom, they're anywhere but the key ring right next to the door. So the cool thing is when we're trying to get out the door, she's like, hey, where are my keys? And I'm like, I don't know. And I just look at the key ring, well, they're not there. It's where they should be. We get in a little argument about it. But she's a good sport. I mean, she deals with all my dumb little things. If anyone knows me, and you guys will definitely learn this about me in the podcast, is I have so many weird little quirks and like I just am so particular about so many things. I don't know how to explain it. I have these little things that bother me. They'd bother nobody else. And a big thing too is I make every situation weird for myself. I put myself in normal situations and I stress myself out. And I make things weird, even though they're not, and I make the situation the worst. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but a perfect example of that is there's a board shop here in Arizona I went to get some shirts because I knew I was going to be on stage, and I had something happen to me that is so funny to think about, and I'm only 25 years old, and I'm kind of an introvert, and so sometimes when I do or think things, I realize that it's like I'm an 80-year-old or something, but I was in Freedom. I walk in. And it's a young crowd, like the people that work there are in high school and they're all skaters and they're like a certain type of people. If you're from Gilbert, then you definitely know what I'm talking about. And I walk in, and as soon as I open the door, this kid, one of the workers, whizzes past me on a skateboard. And all, there was like five or six of them working in there, and they were all skating around the shop on their skateboards. And I'm 25, dude. And I was thinking like, oh, this will not do. You know what I mean? I'm thinking like, these damn youngsters are going to run over my toe. Like, this is annoying to me. And that's freaking annoying of me to be a grandpa. But I'm like, okay, in and out. Got to grab my shirts, dude. And there's a section in there that I walk in. I go straight to the section that's buy three, get one free. Screaming deal. I have to go right there because that's, I don't know. So I go there, but the workers were skating around that little area. And I'm such a bitch because I was like, well, I don't want to ask them to stop. I don't want to get in their way. They're having a good time. They're laughing. They're joking. So I'm going to look somewhere else, but I wasn't actually looking somewhere else. You know what I mean? I was kind of browsing through the pants. I have plenty pairs of pants. I don't need any more. So I'm just looking to wait for them to be done. But why did I get nervous? I felt like I was in an acting audition, bro. I'm looking through the pants and I'm like really looking because I want them to see me and not know that I'm faking it. You know what I mean? But why? How would they know? And they're not paying attention to me. But here's something I want to do. One of my buddies told me that I should talk about people's bathroom stories. I asked on my Instagram for people to send their stories in bathroom related for me to talk about and react to because those are my favorite things of all time, as you guys know. And I got a ton of responses. I'm very excited and looking forward to it. But guess what, bitches? Your boy got sponsored, huh? I got a sponsor this episode. And you might not want to listen to it, but you have to because daddy's got to get paid. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, though? I got to get paid because I'm trying to make some money. Gosh dang. So let me do the ad thing right now and deal with it. If you don't like it, that's too bad. You know? So today's episode is brought to you by Evora Jewelry Co. Evora, the self-expression brand. They create opportunities for self-expression through daily wearables that you customize. In their store, you get to design and create your own sterling silver ring, book your spots online, go into the store on your booked date and time, pick your stone and metal options, and with the help of an Evora team member, create your ring. Their store is in Gilbert, Arizona, right by Backyard Taco, on Higley and Ray, and it honestly is a perfect date night for girls' night or night out with your friends. Go make a ring that fits you. Go today and book your spots online by going to evoracompany.com. I spell that Evora, but it's evoracompany.com. All right, well, let's get into the real meat of this podcast, what I really have been waiting to talk about. I'm so excited. Let's talk about poop stories. Sent in from the listeners, gosh dang it. And they're anonymous, and I said that if you want a shout-out, I'll give it to you, but if not, they'll be anonymous. So send them over. I might do this every episode because there's so many in the backlog. So I haven't read these, by the way. I just want to react to them and read them first here on the podcast. So this is my first time hearing these. I'm very excited. This is from one of my buddies. I'm just going to read it. Okay, it says, all right, so this is not really a conventional bathroom poop story, but it 100% happened, and I figured it would be worth sharing. Off to a great start, I have to say. When I was in high school, a few of us who ran long distance events were on a long run off campus after school one day for track practice. During the run, this one kid who was a year younger than us kept saying how bad he had to poop. After hearing this, my friends and I, tried to convince him to poop on someone's lawn / doorstep because we thought it would be funny, and it's just a ridiculous scenario overall. We didn't think in the slightest he'd actually do it. Well, after a few minutes of trying to speak it into existence, he agreed to it, only if we got him some toilet paper to use. My house was only a 15-minute run from the school, and we were headed that way anyway, so I told him we could stop at my place to get him a roll of toilet paper. Why don't you just stop at your house and go to the bathroom? I guess it's the joke of doing it on someone's doorstep. Okay, so he says, we got the toilet paper, then went a few streets up to look for the perfect house for him to do the deed. So they wanted to do it because it was funny. We needed a house that looked like no one was home and had a semi-secluded / tucked away front door. The plan was that we would wait across the street in an alley while he released his bowels on some poor soul's front doorstep. Then we would walk across the street and clean himself up in the alley. Keep in mind, This isn't early morning or at night. This is after school, middle of the day, 3:30 p.m. tops. We ran around the neighborhood for a bit and finally found the perfect target. We go wait in an alley across the road. This kid walks over to the door, checks it out for a second, pulls his running shorts down a bit, and actually does it. Left a Cleveland Brown on someone's doormat. outside of their front door. Then he pulls up his shorts and proudly does that spread-legged walk across the street over to us. We were all dying laughing and in complete disbelief. We give him the toilet paper, and he went behind a big garbage container that was in the alley and cleaned up what I can only imagine was a huge brown mess that had gotten all over his thighs on that walk over to us. Once he was done, he tossed the toilet paper into the garbage, and we went on with the rest of our run. I just love the fact that he could have easily taken a dump at my house when we were there. See, I told you. When we were there getting toilet paper for him to use after he pooped somewhere else. I also love imagining some poor old woman opening the front door to find a clearly human-sized turd on her front doormat. Quotes, oh my heavens. That was pretty good. Yeah, that's terrible. I'm so happy that didn't happen to me. I know that this guy lived near me, so I'm happy that it wasn't my parents' house he did this to. Another one's from one of my buddies. This is good content, I have to say. For all of you who don't like poop stories, I know that you probably hate this part, but deal with it. Now, this next one is one of my buddies who is talking about when he went on a mission for the church and he went to the Philippines. So that's like a recipe for a good story. He says, first day in the mission field in the Philippines, and we drove out to a super, super far area, and I started to feel like I had to poop. So I told my companion I had to go, but we were in the middle of nowhere, so he's like, just hold it until we get to the investigator's house. And I was like, there's absolutely no way I can hold it, and luckily there was a little school kind of close. So we went over there and walked into a classroom, and my companion asked the teacher if I could use their bathroom, and after long conversations, he finally said yes. So I, this white American, walk into this Filipino class of third graders and step into this sketchy-ass bathroom and see this cereal bowl-sized toilet bowl that I have to aim my poop into. And then I'm looking around for toilet paper and completely forgot they don't use toilet paper out there, and I was going to be my first experience trying to use my hand to wipe my butt. Oh, you sad son of a bitch. So as I'm trying to figure out the technique to it, these three little Filipinos come running into the bathroom and just start pointing and laughing and saying, Kano, haha, like Americano. So I'm just squatted over this toilet bowl with a bowl of water in one hand. The bowl of water in one hand. Son of a bitch, how did I lose my spot so fast? Okay, bowl of water in one hand and one hand wiping my ass crack with my fingers, trying to yell at these kids to get out, but they have no idea what I'm saying and the teacher's just nowhere to be found. So I finally finished cleaning myself up, walk out of the bathroom with water all over my pants and all the kids laughing at me, and I was absolutely ready to come home after that day. That's a good story, bro. Oh my gosh. Mission, okay. Going on a mission and living out of the country as an American is an interesting experience of itself, but bathroom stories in a third world country as an American in a third world country for the first time are insane. One of my favorite stories of when I lived in Mexico, I was on a mission too. I lived in Mexico, and one of my favorite bathroom stories of all time is my companion that was there training me. I was a new guy. He'd been there already. He was taking me around to these people's houses. We went to one house for dinner, and I was in southern Mexico. The area I was at was kind of like my buddy was saying. They didn't use toilet paper a lot of the times. They didn't have real bathrooms a lot of the times. So this guy that I was with, he was this tall, weird, lanky guy. And I don't like him, and I hope he hears this. I don't like you, bud. I'm glad I haven't seen you in years. And we were in this person's house, and he says to me in English, he's American, he says to me in English, I have to poop so bad, really bad, like I'm gonna have to leave you here. So he asks the family to go to the bathroom. We're in this small, like, hut house, in these people's house, eating dinner. He says he has to go to the bathroom, and he says, where is it? And they point right next to the dinner table. There's a curtain dividing the bathroom from the kitchen. So he goes in there, and I'm sitting out, and I don't speak Spanish yet. I'm sitting at these people's dinner table, like, trying to talk to them, and I'm just waiting for this guy to be done so he can talk to them instead. And he goes into the bathroom, and it's 3 feet from the dinner table, and this guy starts blasting this toilet so bad. And it's a hole in the ground. It's not even a toilet. And he's in there like, and he's like having the worst time. And he's just right here and it smells so bad and I can picture it. And it's so funny to picture him with his pants around his ankles. We're all trying to have tortillas or whatever we were eating. And this poor son of a bitch is in there screaming and has to come out and act like we didn't just hear him in there. You know what I mean? He has to sit back down and then be like, anyway, Jesus is our savior. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to get baptized or whatever after that. They're not going to take you seriously. Oh, man. That's so funny. I think that, I don't know, bathroom stories are hilarious, and I have so many more I want to read. I guess I should, like, send them to someone to vet them to see if they're funny enough to read. But that was pretty fun. I liked doing that. I'll probably do that every episode, if I'm being honest. All right, well, I think that's it, actually. That should be fine. We're going to do just a short, sweet episode today. Try and have them release on Monday every week. I think I'm trying to get a little schedule going, but tune in next week. Follow me on Instagram at Jordan R. Quent or at Quintessential Pod to tune in to these little polls I'm doing. Give your 2 cents. Send in your story to be featured on next episode. And that's it. See ya. Bye.